1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 23rd of September, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, information, the strange sorts of things that we always do, and I think the chat room is open, and we're all ready to
back
go.
In there, yeah.
That's I was thinking running. Yesterday about the chat room and whether or not we should try something else. The chat room seems to be working out pretty well.
It's working.
And there aren't enough people
itself,
in it yet,
yeah,
at least, to slow it down. So I guess that's working out all right. We'll just hang on to that as it is for a while. Well, for those of you who are gamers, the wait is almost over. There's only one video game that matters this week, and that's Halo 3.
Thank you. That was the shortest show ever. Well, I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray.
Wow. All right.
Are you in a hurry or something, Rob?
Come on. How bored did you cut? Could you possibly get in the first 30 seconds, for God's sake?
What was that Italian hand gesture?
Rob, Phil.
You know, you can't make up the stuff that happens around this place.
Rob, I've told you before, when you fall asleep, make sure your head doesn't hit the keys, the buttons on the board. Just
go backwards. Go backwards.
Over backwards. That's all right. We'll speaking of which, before we even get to the news, we should talk about our very own Rob Linton.
Yes.
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
I think he's going to be signing these after the show.
I have one here, yes. He was in the paper this week, Saturday.
Yeah, and actually it was not in the police blotter either, which is kind of nice.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's next week?
Wasn't even on the funny pages.
Yeah, no, the class that we teach out of Greece Central Schools is a broadcasting course, and I was lucky enough to be able to teach it this year. And we
couldn't get anybody good?
They could, that's right. They could. Everybody else was not available.
Yeah.
You smart Alec. Anyway, so yeah, that's what that is. It was in the local section yesterday, which is pretty cool.
For those of you with those Photoshop skills, there's a great picture of Rob there.
No, it's not.
Kind
it's
of looking
horrible.
Off into the distance, about to touch fingers with God. Not quite sure what that is.
Here
except
they go.
He's dressed, of course.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
And Steve, I say, as a flaming heterosexual, you clean up pretty good.
Well, thank you very much.
Not that
Rob,
good.
Okay. I'm not here today either.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So, yeah, there you go. I was, yeah.
Well, you just.
I was kind of hoping nobody would notice.
You just cute as a button there.
Your mom's got a couple copies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She actually called me and woke me up. She said, look at the paper. It's like, yes, I know. It's
paste
in the paper.
It in her scrapbook.
That's right.
And the color picture on the website looks a lot better than the black and white picture.
It does. It does. Yeah. And I've been in it a couple of times before for different things with my other radio station and my other job. And
now, is this. Am I looking at some sort of name on your shirt, or is that a pocket full of pens?
No, that's a name on my shirt. I do not.
A little too geeky.
That, yeah, no, you will never catch me with a pocket protector. Can I just tell you that right now?
That was just. Oh, yeah. It looked
they're
like
they're taking a picture.
It looked like a polo shirt or a golf shirt or whatever they call
it.
So I didn't think there was a pocket there, but
no,
I couldn't tell if that was words or a pen.
No, it was definitely words, and it wasn't anything offensive or anything like that.
Oh, you're the one who wasn't wearing something offensive. I see.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
No, you know, it's actually really cool because we've got a group of kids out there. This is the first time a course like this has ever been taught at Greece, and we've got these state-of-the-art facilities and everything like that. So the kids are, like, loving life. They're coming in using the, you know, the TV stuff. They're getting a peek behind the scenes of a radio station and things like that. So it's really cool. We're having a good time.
You actually let them see what you do at a radio station?
I do. Well, actually,
and they stay awake for it?
That's right. Oh, stop it. We pretend is what we do. You know, we make it look. Yeah, we make it look like we actually do work.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yep.
You're sitting there cranking up the thing. I got to keep the heterodyne rolling.
That's right. Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, there is only one video game that matters this week, and that's Halo 3, Microsoft's futuristic shooter that is expected to boost its Xbox 360 console and be one of the year's top titles. It's the sequel fans have waited 3 years for after Halo 2 ended abruptly The game's hero, Master Chief, arriving in Earth orbit to finish the fight against alien invaders known as the Covenant. But with, as with any hugely hyped entertainment product, there are some who doubt that Halo 3 can live up to expectations. The Halo games are known for their highly polished multiplayer modes. While several games allow two people to play a game together, Halo 3 pushes that to four people, something sure to be popular among those who attempt the game on the heroic or legendary difficulty settings. Halo 3 will go on sale at midnight on Tuesday, September 25th. Microsoft executives have said they expect initial sales to top those of Halo 2, which pulled in $125 million in its first 24 hours. That's blockbuster movie money.
You know? It is. We are in the wrong business.
Oh, ain't that the truth? Cheese and crackers. Microsoft hopes the game will spur sales of the Xbox 360 and cement its lead over Sony's PlayStation 3, which has lacked a must-have title to help drive adoption. I'm sure Tuesday will be the day of decreased productivity across the nation because there are going to be millions of people calling in sick. All right, our first call.
The big problem in the game market is it's a hot game for a month, and then the next hot game comes out.
Right,
so you
right,
have
right.
to get all your sales in a couple of weeks.
Right, and you get your mods in and all of that other stuff, and that helps. But the thing about Halo, of course, is it is a multiplayer game, and there's an online component, so you can hook groups together and do all kinds of odd things. We actually hooked two Xboxes together. Well, went into one of the rooms in the evening in RIT. We had this was a sanctioned event. We hooked three sets of Xboxes together in three different rooms. And teams played against each other. Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. All right, our first caller, Dan from Byron, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Every once in a while, my computer just takes on a life of its own and starts running this program. It's a system program. And I'm able to see in the task manager what's gobbling up resources. But it's msmpeng.exe.
Say that again.
msmpeng.exe. It's in the system folder, apparently. And if you look under applications, it doesn't show any applications running. It utilizes almost the entire system resources, you know, where it shows how much percentage of the computer is being utilized.
Yeah.
And it runs between 40% and 98%.
Yeah.
Run an XP home.
Yeah, this is part of the Microsoft Windows Defender anti-spyware program.
Okay.
So...
get rid of it.
Yeah. And use something good. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not our favorite program.
Well, again, the problem I have, you know, Microsoft makes a good operating system, but when they try to get branch out and do these other little things, they only do them half-ass. I mean, I'm sorry, that's the only polite. It's the only polite way to say it. In like, you know, when they tried to come out way back when with their antivirus program, they don't do that for a living. Like McAfee or AVG or any of these others. Theirs is mainly an operating system. Stick to what you do best.
All right. That's our music. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. It is 16 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, we got lots of people on the line. I'll just tell you very quickly, AMD Advanced Micro Devices is adding a triple core Phenom processor to its roadmap. AMD's executives said they're selling these processors that it would otherwise throw into the scrap heap. The chips are actually the four-core Phenom chip with one core disabled, according to AMD representatives. It'll be released during the first quarter of 2008. In terms of speed, of course, it's going to be a little slower. In terms of cores, there's one fewer, but it means that they don't have to throw these things out. They'll be cheaper than four-core processors. And they will work just as well. And, of course, any program that would work with two cores or four cores will work with three cores.
And you'll only notice a speed decrease if you're using all the cores.
Well, that's exactly right.
Cores, rather.
Right. And the way that that this generally works is if you've got a four-core processor, most, and certainly the Windows operating system, doesn't actually run multiple cores. Any one process takes a core. What it really means is you can run three processes simultaneously or four processes simultaneously without them interfering with each other.
Right.
You can run more processes without slowing the system down, but the individual processes don't generally run faster. Now, if you have multi-threaded applications, as you often do under Linux or on the Mac, then yes, you would get actually a speed up of every individual process. That's just a new thing that AMD is bringing out. It's a nice way, you know, instead of throwing out those things where one core dies, they go around and sell them, and they sell them cheaper than the four cores, but more expensive than the dual cores.
Damn. I don't think that's unprecedented. Didn't Intel back in the day have a processor that if the math unit wasn't working, they sold it as a
Celeron. Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, before that even.
Right.
I don't remember the details, but it's not unprecedented.
Yes, that's exactly
business
right.
Practice.
And it's happened before. Well, it's the same thing with a watch. They say that they only make one watch chip. And as more and more features don't work on it, they put it in lower and lower feature watches.
Well, remember the old hard drives? They'd start out so big, and if they didn't, they'd see how good they could get it to register as. And then it was marked as it. Even though it might have started out, say, as a 200 meg hard drive, it might wind up as a 40 gig because number of platters and work and store information.
Right. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Gene from Gananda. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
How you doing, Nick? I have a bit of a problem. My computer, my desktop went down on me, the operating system, and I try to salvage my hard drive to see if I can retrieve some of my information. I can't do that. Is that possible, or is that completely shot?
Depends on what. Is the hard drive making any particular kind of noise?
Well, I had the hard drive removed and put in on an external,
USB case?
Right. To see if I can retrieve it off my laptop. And the only thing that I could retrieve off of that is my MP3 music. But other than that, no matter where I go on that, I can't find anything. I was wondering, is there still something in there, or is it completely shot?
There could still be stuff on it. You just need, there's different tools to find stuff.
Well, I've been hearing a lot about SpinRite recently on recovering data from drives. It depends on exactly what happened to make the drive fail. If it was a head crash, mechanical failure, the disk isn't spinning right.
This is what happened when I went to shut it off. I shut it off as soon as I I'm visually impaired. I got the operating system. I have JAWS on there to help me out. But when I went to shut it off, it seemed like right there. That's when it happened. Bingo. And then the system came up and found out that my whole operating system was shot.
Well,
that's the problem. It depends on what you mean by shot. Was it and what physically happened? Was it a head crash? Was it a directory error? Was it a FAT table? So there's so many different things that can make a hard drive not work.
Right.
And many of them are recoverable. Almost as a bottom line, there are commercial data recovery services that go in with spacesuits in a clean room and take the drive apart and recover data. But there you're looking at several thousand dollars in recovery fees.
Now, is it reasonable to say that is my desktop still salvageable, or should I?
Sure.
Again, it depends.
Likely something is salvageable, depending on how much you want to spend.
Right. Mm-hmm. We do data recovery. The drives are at least up and spinning. We give it our best effort. You know, as long as they're getting power to it and you don't hear the constant click, 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 click. But often if they'll spin up, I can usually get data off.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
would I take it up to your shop?
Just bring it up to us. It's Enright PC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard, and we can take a look at it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Because, like you say, or if he wanted to try, he could also try before bringing it to us. Not that I don't want his business, but try a product like SpinRite. Sometimes it'll do it, but I've got other utilities. Go a little deeper.
SpinRite works better if you'd run it before the problems.
Yeah, right.
It tries to prevent the problems from happening.
Yeah, right.
All right, our next caller is Barry from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
I have an internet address question. I use www.chase.com, and I use them for my banking. And about a half a week ago, when I would go to that site, just like every morning I do normally, it came back and it said, "We're working on the system. We'll be right back. Sorry for the problem." And I figured that was really what was going on. Until 3 days later, they're still working on the system. So what I did, and I use Firefox. So I switched over to IE and did the chase.com. Worked perfect. Went over to another machine and tried Firefox on chase.com. Worked perfect. So then what I did is I went back to IE on the primary machine, and as soon as I click chase.com, something, a bunch of ASPX or something after that comes right up, and then it goes, I copied that real quick, then I pasted that into Firefox, and then it worked. So my question is, if you followed all that,
yeah,
what has happened to the one machine, to the Firefox browser only, that causes when I go to chase.com to come up with a message that says we're working on the system?
Well, there's a couple of things that could cause that. The most likely one is some sort of hijacking software that's trying to take over and send you to a site that pretends to be Chase. You put in your username and password, and they own it.
And I'm fearful of that. However, something is preventing me from even being able to do that, which is very good, because there's nothing I can do when I get to this page. It just doesn't
right.
work.
It's likely that the site itself was taken down, and that you still have the problem.
It's also possible it's a stuck piece of cache, and so his Firefox is looking at the cache file of when that page was chase.com.
I deleted the cache.
Yeah.
From inside of Firefox or on the desktop?
Inside of Firefox.
Sometimes a cache file gets stuck and the program can't delete it. You have to manually go to the cache folder and manually delete the cache files.
Okay, I'll look at that.
Alternately, of course, you probably need to dance the security tango.
Okay.
That's it. You don't need www.
I do it.
All right.
Now, I've not done it since I've had this problem.
See, got to do it. That is the most likely answer, really. What Steve said, you should definitely do, but you should also dance the tango.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's one of the symptoms that you find in a lot of these programs is what they do is they hijack a URL like chase.com and give you a fake page. And if that page is taken down, then he'd get that sort of thing. Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not on the line, I don't know why you're not. You should be. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 32 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, real quick, a Republican Party website has been hacked, and for some time it's been spreading a variation of the long-running Storm Trojan horse to vulnerable visitors, according to a security researcher. This is the first time that Storm has taken to the web for its victims, according to Dan Hubbard, who's the head of research at San Diego-based WebSense, Inc. The big news is that Storm has added infecting sites to its arsenal. Storm debuted in January, but only cracked the top malware list early this summer. It has become infamous for its ability to adapt its infection strategies. They have a knack for latching onto the latest newsworthy events and capitalizing on the public interest in them. And if no newsworthy events are happening at the time, then they will just make them up. Until now, Storm has infected users via files attached to email or through links embedded in spam. This change noticed by WebSense's scanners, however, means that Storm's backers have moved to other attack vectors, in particular compromised websites that sport malicious iframes. Users visiting such sites are instantly infected with the Trojan if their browsers are not patched against whatever specific exploit the iframe code is throwing out. Several hundred sites have been compromised by Storm's makers, then seeded with iframes that can inject the Trojan into vulnerable PCs. One such site was a Republican Party website for the 1st Congressional District of Wisconsin. Within hours after WebSense notified the site's owners, however, it had been purged of the dangerous iframe code. By mid-morning on Friday, it was safe to visit. Hubbard did not know how the site was compromised. So this is just one more reason to make sure everything in your system is up to date and that you run the tango regularly and keep your system clean, because they're getting better and better at breaking into systems and infecting them.
Now, under the equal time laws, does that mean that the Democrats have to have their accounts hacked?
Oh, geez. Yes, do you think they'll sue if they don't?
Probably.
There was another big, who was it? Oh, Fred Tomlinson running, Thompson, the guy from Law and Order, running for president. there's this big debate running about whether to show his Law and Order episodes on TV because of the equal time law, meaning his competitors get that same amount of time.
When Schwarzenegger was running in California, they couldn't run any of his movies.
And this all started with George Takei when he was running for city council in some little town out in California.
Actually, it started with Ronald Reagan.
That he was before Takei?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so now it seems to be broadcast television only. Because when Schwarzenegger was running, all the cable channels were running his movies specifically.
Right.
So it's only broadcast television has equal time laws.
Right. All right, our next... I'm sorry. Chris, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I wonder if they enforced that against Sonny Bono. Did they stop playing his records?
On the air?
When
well,
he was
who
running
was playing
for Congress?
His records on the air anymore anyway?
Yeah, well, that really. Was then. Sorry, not, yeah. not talking about now.
Yeah. And who was it? Yeah, Gopher from The Love Boat?
Gopher? When he was Fred somebody, too. All right, our next caller is Ethel from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Ethel. What's your question?
Hi. I have Windows 98 second edition.
Oh, hey.
And it's been running. We've kept it along for a while now. It's got 523 megahertz processor, but I keep having a problem when I try to get online. I keep getting this BART shell file that comes up, and I've emailed the carrier that I have, and they really never tell me what it is. They sent me software to reload my internet provider and everything, but it's still popping up, and then it kicks you right off.
What's it called? BART shell?
BART shell.
B-A-R-T-S-H-E-L?
Yes.
Who's your internet provider?
People PC.
That's it. Yeah, that's a problem with People PC software.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's probably
unfortunately, you need it
system.
if you're using People PC, you need it.
And you're dialing directly into People PC?
Yes.
Yeah, this program is part of the People PC service. It should be there.
But it doesn't work.
Are you getting online anyway?
For maybe a second, and then BART shell comes up and says it has performed an illegal operation, and as soon as you close it, it kicks you out.
Okay.
What it sounds like to me is they have upgraded BART shell.
That's what I was thinking, and it's not compatible.
Yep, it's no longer compatible with 98.
Because 98 is, I mean, it's been dead for years now. And
do you still have your older copy of your People PC software installed?
Yeah, I tried that. But
did you uninstall the old version and then reinstall?
Yes.
But the thing of it is, though, is because she's going through...
That might be too old then. You need an intermediate.
Yeah, once she gets to the web, it's putting her way out of date because they've done the updates on that end, and the two aren't interfacing correctly.
Right.
Because it is so old.
That's what I've been finding.
Yeah, unfortunately, but maybe good for you that, you know, you might have to look in getting a newer machine for the holidays.
Well, or changing service providers to one that doesn't require a proprietary dialer.
What would that?
Do
you have any ideas?
Well, there are several local providers.
EasyNet, Blue Frog, yeah.
There's Net a bunch Access.
Of Net Access. There's a bunch of providers that provide dial-up internet service using the Windows built-in dialers and don't need a proprietary dialer.
I see. There are two other files that keep coming up. CPQEADM and WUCRTUPD.
Yeah, that's all part of the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're going to find it more and more difficult to get software that really works well with 98.
Yeah, it's...
But I've been trying to tell my husband. I just wanted to hear it from you folks.
Yeah. Tell him we said...
Do you have a compact PC?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, CPQ-EADM is the Compact Easy Access Delete and Removal Program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the compact software to remove other compact
software.
Well,
but it's all part
software.
Of the same deal.
Yeah.
These things
but
are no
here's
longer...
Here's the easiest thing. Just go tell your husband, Soundbite's crew said you got to get a new PC.
What? Can you tell me anything about Foxfire? I've seen it on one of my son's PCs.
That's one of the products that we recommend along with Thunderbird.
Well, Firefox, it's an internet browser that you use to look at web pages instead of Internet Explorer.
It's much more secure.
Right, but you still need an internet service to get to the internet ahead of time.
And you can download it.
Yeah, it's a free download. Absolutely.
Free download.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We listen to you all the time.
Thank you so much, and good luck with your new machine.
Guess she's going shopping
Christmas
this afternoon.
Is coming up.
No, and we're going to start getting calls from her husband. What are you doing? We're trying to save
money. See, I like that. It's the wife that wants a new computer, not the husband.
Yeah, I know it. Exactly.
So what does the husband want?
Yeah, right.
That 50-inch plasma.
Yeah, right. There you go.
He's up. Yeah, okay, honey. You go down to the computer aisle. I'll be in golf clubs.
TVs.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAF. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Sound Bites. Now, again, just before we get back to the phones, you may remember the trouble with SCO, the SCO group, who decided they owned the patent, or rather the trademark, and all the rights to all the Unix code and all the other stuff. So they were suing Linux. Out of these, a lot of people said, well, they were backed by Microsoft, and that's blah, 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 blah. Well, it appears that their cash reserves are running out. Their legal case against IBM Corporation is unraveling, and it looks like the SCO group says there is doubt that it will remain afloat. SCO made this statement with its most recent quarterly U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission statement. The company cited its recent motion for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, as well as a recent court setback relating to its intellectual property claims, as reasons for worry. As a result of both the court's ruling and the company's entry into Chapter 11, there is substantial doubt about the company's ability to continue as a going concern, SCO said in the filing. Millions of Linux users across the world were heard to go,
I thought they had already lost that case, or was it only part of the case they had lost?
No, they lost the case. The thing is, now they suddenly realize they have run out of money. They used all their money to prosecute the case. And ever since they started, people have stopped buying their software.
So they bet the farm and
lost.
Okay.
Oops. All right. Our next caller is Jim from Oswego, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Thank you, gentlemen. I have a 952 HP printer that's worked flawlessly for 5 or 6 years, printed a million copies. And yesterday while moving, somebody picked the printer up and tipped it back just a little bit. And it seemed like a quart of black ink came out all over the place.
Howie.
Yeah, whenever you're transporting an inkjet printer, make sure you transport it extremely level or the ink will spill out and destroy the printer.
Okay. That's simple, huh?
Steve, yeah. Did you say destroy the printer?
Yeah. If you're really, 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 really lucky and really, 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 really patient, you can go in with a Q-tip and clean up all the spilled ink. But then your prints are likely going to smear for a long time.
It's all over the travel rods. Yep. And
yeah, it's not that it won't work anymore. It's just that there's all this stuff, all this ink sitting around in the parts, and they'll keep coming out on the paper for years.
Even if you can get it to work, your reliability is out the door.
Yeah, you're just going to get streaks and splotches on the paper forever.
Okay.
Time for a new printer.
The color ink didn't leak, just the black ink.
Yeah, then you're just going to get black on the paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yep.
Time to go buy a new printer.
Sorry, Jim. All right, our next caller is Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
Talk about computer naive. I'm number one. I'm a 60-year-old disabled man. I'm homebound, and last November, I took advantage of getting a free computer by doing a contract for the high speed.
Yep.
I went into it eyes blind. I had no idea what I was getting into. But over the past year, I have sure learned a lot.
Good for you.
But you referred to something, and you're going to really see how stupid I am when I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to tell me.
Okay.
I probably do it, but I don't know what it means.
What is it?
Security Tango.
The Security Tango.
Security Tango.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really should have explained what that was the first time I used it today. The Security Tango is a website I put together. It's at securitytango.com.
Security?
Tango. That's all one word, of course. There are no spaces on the internet.
Right,
securitytango.com.
.com.
Right. And if you go there and click on the Let's Dance button. Let's dance, as in let's you and I go dancing. Let's mm-hmm. dance. And then print out that page and follow the instructions. It will lead you through a whole series of steps to clean your computer out from all the bad stuff that gets on it when you're wandering around the internet, and how to then protect it afterwards once it's clean. The reason that I put this site together, I created the site, but all of us helped, and a whole bunch of other people helped in putting together the steps. The idea is that we kept telling people how to fix their computer on the air, and it got really tedious because as time has gone on, the steps get longer and longer and longer because there's more and more bad stuff out there. And I started calling it the Security Tango because it's really, if you, people would call up and say, well, I did everything but step four. And I would say, well, it's like dancing. If you skip a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around. So we came up with the name Security Tango, and it's online is thesecuritytango.com. That's secure, not the security, securitytango.com. And it's just a set of our accumulated wisdom. You print that out, follow all the steps, and clean out your machine. And if you do that every once in a while, you know your machine, and you know when it's slowing down or doing something a little odd, and then you run the tango and clean it up again. Okie doke. Excellent. That's an excellent question. I really should have, the first time I suggested it, the guy said, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. So I just moved on, and I probably should have stopped and explained it better then. Thank you, Ray, for pointing out that I should have done that. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 50 minutes after the hour, and it's Sound Bites on 1180 WHA. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites. All right, kiddies. It's that time once again. Go put your footy jammies on. Grab your cup of hot, rich, chocolatey Ovaltine. Sit in the Indian style in a semicircle around the floor, around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yep.
Time for Story Hour, Uncle Dave.
Okay, no problem. I got an interesting one, and, we've been through this a few times, folks. And I guess I don't understand what folks don't understand about one computer, one copy. Yes, it is only one copy, because I had this client bring in a copy of Windows XP, and he said, yeah, I just got this, and I want you to put it on this new machine. No. Well, what do you mean? No, it's there's a sticker and everything else. Yeah, you could tell that he peeled off another machine, and the dead giveaway was on the cover of the Windows XP thing. It said used on a Dell.
Yeah, for use on a new PC only.
Yeah.
Well, sure, we can install it, and it will quit working in 30 days because it's an illegal copy.
Right, and then it's your fault. Then they bring it back to you. Yeah. This doesn't work, and you installed it. Yeah, right.
It says one computer, one copy. Doesn't mean that you can put it on mother. Well, you used to be able to do that back in the old day. No, you couldn't.
Well, you used to be able to, but it was still illegal.
Yeah, it's still, right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get into that.
Fine distinction there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want 60 minutes come buzzing through my door saying, oh, you just pulled the scam. And
now, if you call Dell, probably because they're the OEM, you can transfer that license to another computer.
Right. Probably a Dell, though.
Probably not a generic computer.
They're not
going
to want to let it go off to somebody else's computer. So if you're gonna bring stuff in, and I love the ones that bring it in, well, no, that's my backup copy. Well, then bring me the original. Well, I don't know where that is. Well, right. Then I can't put it on.
Well, the original's in my safe. I don't care where it is. I can't
get
put it on.
Hello, right. When you bring me the CD or DVD and it's got handwritten on it Windows XP and it's got the the key code and all that, wrong. It right. Should be on the side of the machine if it's legit.
Right.
So don't bring it in and asking me to install it. I'm not going to.
It's okay if you want to be a thief. That's your business.
I'm not.
Don't go asking somebody else to give up their ethics for you.
Well, they get all pissy.
Yeah.
They get all in a big huff. Ooh, that's one hell of a way to run a business. Yeah, that's why I'm still in business.
Being legal and ethical, yeah.
Yeah, right. I tell people at work this all. Several people say, I just want to put this on my home machine. You can't. Who'll know? First, I'll know.
Yeah.
That's what makes me an ethical and moral person. I'll know. And secondly, it's illegal, and I'm not going to lose my job just so you get a free copy of Windows.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
Did we talk about a couple of weeks ago when the Windows and Genuine Advantage server was down for 4 or 5 days?
No, we didn't. And how everybody, I don't know how we missed that. It was in my thing, but we missed it.
How many legitimate users who just happened to inadvertently run the WGA test, since Microsoft's server was down, your Windows stopped working because it said you were a pirate?
Right. Right, well, Windows did have a little trouble.
It was something that
a company the size of Microsoft would have a backup for that machine.
Yeah.
Gee, you think it should be a grab cluster? No. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be a cluster of machines.
You said the keyword. Think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry.
But I think so, they said later that it only affected about 5% of the of
how many
the
million?
Users. Right, but how many millions of people is 5% of the Windows user base?
All right, all right. It looks like both Uncle Dave and Uncle Steve need their medicines. So we've got the big guys in white to hold them down while we inject them. Put away your footy jammies and your wash out your mugs of cocoa. Put away your teddy bears because we're done with Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Not a moment too soon. All right, now. Have we got time for a call? Tell me I have time for a call. I have time for a call. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Hi, guys. Got a pretty simple question, I believe.
Questions are always simple, Joe.
Yeah, I know. But the answers are difficult.
Exactly.
We have to make them up.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can make up a good one here. I think it's pretty simple. What I somewhere along the line, I have a compact Rosario 2100 laptop, a little older machine. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, the BIOS were changed, and there was a password made up for this computer. Whenever I turn the computer on, I'm being asked an enter password.
It's got an administrative password on boot up.
Exactly.
That varies on computer to computer. You may have to check the manual that it came with.
Quite often, what it means is you got to literally break it down and take out the CMOS battery.
That's where I was told by two or three other people.
You've got to break it down, take out the battery, and do
a reset. The problem is on a laptop, that's not so easy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
We do it. I mean, but...
if you're going to bring it to a vendor, bring proof of purchase of the machine. That's just polite. Because I'm sure it is your machine, but they need to know that. So bring proof of purchase with you so they know it's your machine. We got to go. Time for the news, the weather, the sports, all the more important things you listen to Wham for. We will be back on the other side of that with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. We've got the poll. We've got people waiting on the line. We've got all kinds of important things going on right now. So please, for heaven's sake, stay on the line I got a couple of seconds. Let me once again thank Chris Reich for taking his own precious time to donate his time to come and make things lovely for the archives. He was sick this last week, so we're behind 1 week, but he'll get that done as soon as he possibly can. Did I mention I'm Nick Francesco and that it's 59 minutes after the hour and that you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM? I think I did just now. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. We've got some people on the line. Before we get there, I want to tell you a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about an installation of Microsoft's update system that actually installs some things on your machine without your knowledge. 289 of you voted, making it 189, actually tied for 188 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. 70% of you thought it was absolutely unconscionable that Microsoft would install something without your knowledge. 14% of you didn't think it was a bad idea if it was an update. 8% of you said the Linux. 6% of you said the Macintosh. And a whopping 9 of you said whatever Microsoft does is okay by me. It is my assumption you were tongue-in-cheek. This week's poll is about another problem we're having on the web. Widgets, those fun little graphic programs that bring all kinds of nifty toys to your desktop. Most Linux GUI desktops have them. OS X has them. Vista has them. A lot of websites have them. And they're great big security holes. Patches to them have appeared by the dozens. Yes, even for you Mac folks. But there's still security risks. Finjan, a security company based in San Jose, California, says that the only thing that will stop the problem is a new security model. According to Finjan, all types of widget environments were found to be plagued with inadequate security models that allowed malicious widgets to run. In addition, we have found vulnerable widgets that were already available, some in the default installation in the widget environment. These examples clearly show that the design and development of these mini applications was missing some security in considerations. The problem is, the widgets are loosely based on web models such as HTML-like presentation and rendering and JavaScript-like APIs. Not surprisingly, the types of vulnerabilities they bring to a system are similar to those found on the web. However, widget and gadget engines magnify the threat since they share a much deeper connectivity with the underlying operating system. Vista's contacts widget has been fixed, but their RSS feed widget, indeed every operating system's and website's RSS feed widget, is vulnerable to malicious code in the feed. iGoogle, Live.com, Amazon, and Yahoo all have the same widget problems, as do any RSS feeder you would run on any operating system you own. Every widget represents a potential security threat. Businesses should block widgets at the gateway. Let's face it, these things aren't mission critical or even useful for business productivity in most cases. This attack vector could have major impacts on business, and even home users will be vulnerable. In fact, given the recent trend of the bad guys to try to take over home machines, since they're typically less protected, I'd argue that home machines are even more likely to be attacked. My suggestion, until the various companies, Microsoft, Apple, Yahoo, Amazon, Google, etc., can all prove their widgets have been designed with security in mind, dump them. Just don't run them. Yeah, they're cute, they're cuddly, they're fun. Dump them. When it comes to making a choice between fun and secure, be an adult.
One of the similar issues cropped up a couple weeks ago on MySpace. A lot of companies use advertising on their homepage to pay for the page so that you don't have to. Those advertising programs are written by somebody. Then somebody else actually writes the ad, and somebody else collects the ad. So there's, you know, there's all these people involved. Somebody wrote a virus ad and snuck it into an ad that ended up on MySpace's front page through this series of advertisers, right, and copywriters and whatnot. And MySpace virtually had no control over it because, you know, they have a code on their page that says insert ad here.
Right.
So it's another vector for viruses getting out.
Yep. So this week's poll is, will you give up your unsecured widgets? The choices are immediately, never, and I have no idea if I have widgets. So far, we have 77 votes. 56% of you have no idea if you have widgets. Let me give you a clue. Yes, you do. 27% said they'd give them up immediately, and 17% said never. When you are done voting, if you look at the little yellow box underneath, you will see that there is a link that says, give us your opinion. If you click on that link, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. And you can enter an opinion, because I know that just clicking a box isn't enough for you. You want to enter actual text. And so I allow you to do that. And so far, we've got 8 opinions out there. What's interesting is that I've written some code to reject. I used to get a lot of spam and a lot of stuff on there for, you know, Viagra and everything else you could conceive. So I stuck some very simple code on there to reject those. And so far, I'm getting about 34 of those a day. I've rejected, in the last 50 days, I've rejected over 1,700 of them. And it's pretty impressed by how adamantly they continue to try to get that stuff on my site. When you're done with that, please check out my website, AskNick.com. I've got a forum. I've got, well, yeah, because you have to join to see all this stuff. It's only $15 a year. I send out a newsletter. You can search old newsletters. You can talk to the folks in the forum. Or you can come back and talk to the folks in our forum. Some of the coolest people in the known universe wander around in our forums, and they come up with some pretty intelligent answers to questions, I have to say. And so join us in either one of those forums. And now let's get back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen, or afternoon, and thank you for all the service you give us.
Well, thank you.
My question concerns the computer I have at work, which is under complete, you know, system control.
Right.
And it's an IBM NetVista. It has one USB port in the rear of the unit. And I ran a USB extension cable around to the front, and I use it to either plug in the thumb drive as I move data from the lab to my office or back again.
Mm-hmm.
Or I plug in a card reader so I can put in a memory card from our cameras so I can copy images onto
sure.
the computer.
Yeah.
When I disconnect the card reader, of course, I always get the Windows message that says, you know, you did not shut it off properly and it could
yeah.
be damaged and so on. I just click OK and go on with my work.
Mm-hmm.
Never have a problem except when I go from the card reader to the thumb drive, then back to plugging the card reader in.
Yep.
And the system is Windows 2000. It won't recognize it, mount it, or anything.
Right,
and
right.
I'm forced to reboot.
Yeah, you have to unmount that drive so it closes properly before you physically remove it.
One of the things that Windows does to make itself fast is it doesn't ever write things to the disk right away. it waits, gives you back control of your system, and then writes stuff in the background. So okay. You need to disconnect that. You need to properly remove the drive, because otherwise it may not have written all the data.
Well, he might have another issue, though.
Even if it wrote the data, it may not have written out the table of contents and shut down the entire system.
But one other key thing, though, that he said?
Windows 2000.
Windows 2000, and it's in an office environment, he might not have the rights or privileges, because you've got to have admin rights to be able to do that.
Right. Then, well, there's a couple of things there. Windows 2000 doesn't really deal with USB ports well to begin with. Secondly,
that's an understatement.
Right. And secondly, have you been given proper control over that? And third, definitely there's the problem of, if you don't disconnect it correctly, it may think it's still connected.
What would be the proper way to disconnect?
Down in the system tray, near the time.
Yes.
You'll find a little, if you roll your mouse over all those things, you'll come up to one that says, oh, I don't remember exactly what it says.
Safely remove hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you right click on that, it'll bring up a list of all the attached hardware. There should be only one. Click on that, and it'll wait a few seconds, and then it'll say you can now safely remove your hardware.
And we've heard a lot of stories from people that have ignored that message for years, never have a problem until they have a problem.
Right.
And can I get my data back?
And it really, it's a crapshoot. You know, you throw the dice, you pay your money, and you take your chance. The whole point of that is to make sure all the data are written correctly before the disk is removed. If they are not, you will have a problem. If they are, you win.
Okay, part B then. Once I do that, would your expectation be that when I replug the card reader back in, the system would recognize it and mount it? Then?
Yes.
Okay.
Because what's happened is you've now told it, I am going to remove this drive, pay attention. And when you remove it, it actually, if you saw it on your desktop, you would see it disappear. It knows you're going to remove it. It shuts it down and forgets about it.
Good.
It may take 5 seconds or 10 seconds, but it will forget about it.
Much faster than a reboot at work.
Just a bit faster, yes.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Jim. All right. So that's a little warning fable for everybody. Mm-hmm. Make sure you correctly move your hardware. Our next caller is Chuck from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Chuck. What's your question?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I've got a Windows Vista.
I'm so sorry.
Before I load down the security software, it goes around the internet really quick, okay? Then I go to load down the security software, and the thing goes, it's real slow on me.
Which security software?
CA, Computer Associates.
If you're just loading it for the first time, it does a lot of stuff in the background that first time you install it to make sure that your machine is clean and to set itself up so that it knows everything.
Computer Associates software is also a memory hack.
It is a memory hack. How much memory do you have on your machine?
1 gig. You know, that was my next question. Not to interrupt you, I was wondering maybe if I should double it.
How much do you have?
1 gig.
That's a minimum for running Vista. I hate to say that. I know they suggest like 40K or something, but it really is a gig. And if you double the amount of memory, you will have fewer problems. That's not to say you won't have any. And CA is a lovely program, and I know a lot of people have give it out. A lot of internet service providers give it out. But there are others that I think are less of a memory hog.
Well, and that's the big problem with security software. Any security software you install on your system is going to make your system slower.
Yes.
Because it's doing its thing before it lets you access whatever you set to access.
They've got the new Adaware 2007, which will work on it. AVG will work on it. AVG.
Avast works on it great, by the way.
Do they have a free version?
Yes.
I mean, there's a number of other ones that you can try that will work with Vista and work more efficiently.
What's the one you suggest most?
I personally like Avast. AVAST.com.
That's for antivirus. For spyware, you can go to Adaware 2007.
I still like the combination of Adaware and SpyBot, which is up to 1.5 now.
Yep.
I was cleaning a machine this week. In fact, he got infected by the KillAV Trojan, which kills your antivirus. But I've got Norton. Not anymore.
Yeah. Right.
It's on there. It ain't working.
Yep.
And between...
and zone alarm for your
between
firewall.
Between SpyBot and Adaware, it removed a couple hundred more. It was also... It loaded some security parameters into his registry. I couldn't open control panels. Couldn't open system properties. even in safe mode. So it was pretty embedded in there.
Mm-hmm. If you go to the download programs, the second line says Avast Home Edition free download, and free is in capital letters. Pretty obvious. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Henright, Steve Ray, who apparently is now learning to read kind of all by himself.
I want the products first.
Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Yes? High on a mountaintop above a small Midwestern city, it is I, Nick Francesco. I have my own theme song. Welcome back.
The funny part about it is actually seeing you put your arms up like you're going to fly. Yeah, that's perfect.
We have the camera. They're all seeing me do that.
Yeah, but it's not turned on.
Their whole days I'm flying. All right.
Just like the 60s, right?
Oh, the 60s were a beautiful time.
If you didn't remember them, you weren't there.
I wasn't there, luckily.
Apparently, neither was I. I don't remember.
60s or 70s.
Yeah, well, of course, the 60s were actually 68 to 76.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the 70s were 76
to, like... What year were you born, Rob?
80.
Ah, you puppy.
Wow.
Boy, we hate you. All right, welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Rob Linton.
Oh, you know what? Don't be mad because you guys are old. It's okay.
I've got the picture of Rob from the DNC in the forums.
Excellent.
You know, just as I thought the picture thing went away.
No, the picture thing will never go away.
Nice.
No.
Well, we could all start up that survey again to finding out his middle name.
That's right.
You know what was funny? I was actually at a fundraiser for my radio station this week, and people kept coming up and saying, why did those guys give you such a hard time?
And then 2 minutes after meeting, they went, oh, that's why.
That's nice. Yeah, no, I they're like, they're a bunch of characters, aren't they? I said, try working with them on a weekly basis.
If you call this work,
I know.
I know.
Oh, I do. That's why I'm still here after almost 10 years.
Exactly. One of the things I have thought about doing was changing the entire Soundbites website.
Why?
Let me finish.
People would be there saying, why, Nick? Why would you want to change it?
Well, because we've got great things going on in the website, but I was thinking that if we did something more along the lines of a content management system like Drupal or one of those, all of the names escape me at the moment.
I heard somebody call it Drupal the other day.
Yeah. And whatever happened to RuPaul? It doesn't matter. Anyway, here's the point. If we did that, then people could put up entire, galleries full of pictures, and we could make all of that much more automated and much easier for everybody to do. I don't know. I'm thinking about it, but, God knows when am I going to have time for that, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway. It's back to the phones, and our next caller is Jeff from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Well, it starts out like this. My buddy just upgraded...
This is going to be a good question. Clearly.
My buddy just upgraded his system to a quad core with the 8800 GTX card.
Yeah, my buddy. It's not me. It's some guy I know.
Wink,
some
wink.
My cousin's uncle's sister's aunt's third removed friend.
Famous last words. Hey, look at this.
Yeah, I wish I could get the video card.
Upgraded with what video card?
It was he got the 8800 GTX.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the 758. That's a sweet card. But he had I have an AGP system, and he gave me his old, he had a 7600 GS. And I put it in my machine last night and downloaded the drivers from NVIDIA. And every time I went to start up my game, it would crash my system. Did I stump you?
No, it's a Mac question.
Well, games are notorious for wanting specific drivers for specific video cards.
Right.
I figured that. I figured that maybe...
Does it need some updated drivers for that particular system in OS?
Well, yeah, what I'm thinking is when you installed the game, it figured out what card you had and installed whatever it needed for that card. Now you've got a different card. I'll guarantee you, or I'll bet you at least, that if you uninstall the game and reinstall the game, it will work again.
Really?
That's my thought. Because a lot of these games have special driver needs.
Optimized for gameplay,
and they load those files when you install them. So what they've done is installed... What was your old card?
The old card was a 6600 GS.
Yeah. And so what's happened is you've got some old drivers in the game, maybe not necessarily in the system, because you updated those drivers and they work great, right?
Yes.
And if you install a new game, it works great.
I haven't tried that.
Problem, of course, is if you unload your game, you're probably going to lose all your scores or whatever.
Well, it's an online game, so it shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. Then I would try that if I were you. You don't get an error message of any sort.
No, there's no error message. It just completely crashes the machine.
Crashes the machine.
Yes.
Wow.
I have to restart.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's trying to change a driver somewhere.
All right.
Right.
Well,
and where
did you download this from?
I downloaded the driver from NVIDIA, from the NVIDIA website.
Oh, that's good.
You could go through and pick out which card it was, but it would just give you a 7 series driver. What I thought was maybe it was just a generic driver for the whole 7 series.
Right.
And that maybe having... I know that like the 7200 class is more like a business class where maybe it wouldn't run the games that I'm playing.
And
I thought maybe it was just a generic driver, so that driver was bad.
And this was on a Mac?
No, this is on
a PC. Okay. No, there should be an 8-series driver somewhere.
NVIDIA doesn't have Mac drivers. Right. You have to get them from Apple.
Right. There should be an 8-series driver. The 8800 GTX should have its own driver set. Actually, that driver set should come on a CD with the card.
Right.
The 7600 as well.
I got his old bit.
The 7600 should have its own driver set as well.
Okay.
The other problem it might be is that a lot of NVIDIA cards are OEM'd for that specific computer.
That's true.
That computer vendor may have tweaked the drivers or tweaked the firmware on that card.
No, he bought it all aftermarket himself.
Okay.
He put it all together himself.
Then I would suggest that you try uninstalling the drivers for that game, reinstalling the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I didn't do last night.
Try that.
Okay.
Let us know. Thanks. I have no idea. I've just started playing. I'm, of course, the systems administrator of the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. And thank you. We are toying around with the idea of teaching a course in Second Life. So I've gotten on Second Life to see what it's like and what I can do and yada, yada, yada. And I'm amazed at the number of machines it doesn't run on, because it really expects a high-end graphics card.
But I don't have time for my first life.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I have gotten on, I have walked around, I have flown around, and I'm done now. I really am done now. I couldn't, although it would be way cool to have sound bites online in Second Life. Actually, like have the chat room Second Life, because you can join Second Life for free.
And there's a lot of places that have done that, and my thought is, do it on the web. Why Second Life?
Right. I mean, we've already got a nice little chat area set up, and there's a dozen people in it.
And we could do internet broadcast streaming, you know, at other times without the radio show. And, you know, if we wanted to, we could make this our third life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If I'm got to have a second life, I got other candidates. Thank you very much. All right. But it does require a very high-end graphics card. In fact, my machine at home does Second Life way better than my machine at work. I keep pointing out to my boss. All right, our next caller is Mike on a cell phone. Welcome, Mike. Mike, you're not driving, are you? Mike? Mike?
Hello, Mike.
Mike? Oh, I hope Mike is all right.
He's gone.
All right, our next caller after Mike is going to be
Rich.
Rich from Arundhatuid. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I like listening to your show. It's a great show.
Am I not hearing people, or are people not there?
We're hearing them now.
Yeah, I'm hearing them.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, go ahead, Rich.
All right. I like listening to your guys' show, but there are weeks that I miss it and would like to still listen. Is there any way for me to download the archives recordings there and put them on a CD to, say, play in the car on the way to...
We are going
to
give you... special permission to do that.
Rich, well, that was another question.
You're the only guy.
Special permission or, you know.
No, anybody can do that. If you go to our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us all to remind you. All you have to do is click on the, right on the main page under Join Us in the Soundbites. Well, if it's third today, it'll down, say yeah. Join Us in the Soundbites chat room. If not, it's right under that. It says listen to past shows in the archives.
Okay.
Click on that, and you will see all the shows that we have archived and their size. Any one of them, you can right-click on it, select Save As or Save Link As.
Normally, if you left-click on it, it will just start playing.
Right.
Okay. All right.
but you can download them if you prefer, burn them to CD.
Well, the problem is they may not fit on an audio CD because it's more than an hour.
Oh, right.
Audio CDs are limited to 74 minutes of audio.
And do I need the auto CD or?
It depends if your car can play a data CD with audio files on it. Sometimes they call it an MP3 CD.
Yeah.
Okay.
The newer cars,
can, radios, but you have to make sure
can handle MP3s.
Okay.
Or you can get any MP3 player you want and listen to the shows on an MP3 player through your car.
Sure.
You can pretty much do anything you want except charge other people for it or claim it as your own.
Oh, I would never do that.
Well, I know that. I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Now, we should point out that we are having a little trouble with our podcast feed code. The latest shows, except for last week's, which we haven't got to yet because Chris was sick. Sorry. Hope you're feeling better. So the latest shows are available on the archives webpage. But for some reason, they aren't showing up in the feed from iTunes or the iTunes store. They don't show up, which is weird. They don't show up in my Firefox, but Safari displaying the feed code does have September 9th, which is the last show in the feed. But iTunes won't recognize that there's shows beyond August 26th. And we haven't changed anything in the code, you said.
No, we haven't. The code has not changed in forever. Now, is not August 26th pretty much when you started doing...
No, my first time on duty was Father's Day, which was June 17th, I think.
I was hoping to blame it on somebody else.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's two shows in the there's two shows past the last one that shows up in the podcast that won't show in the feed on iTunes, but are on the website.
Right.
So I don't know if Apple would have changed something, but there would be a bigger uproar in the community if they changed some code.
Yeah, you would have heard about it. I don't know what it is, but I am looking into it. And I'll figure it out.
Especially since I looked in a different podcast feeder and it doesn't see it either.
Right.
Something weird. Maybe something changed on your server.
That's certainly, God knows that's possible. At any rate, I will figure out how to fix that. And one of the folks in the chat room has asked the Raquelian. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that entirely incorrectly. Wants to know if there's a Vorbis version of the archive. There is not at the moment. Should we do that? Create an
that's,
Vorbis?
That's more work. No.
No. Okay.
It's technically possible. Your call.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that offline. I don't know that it's really all that necessary at this point.
We've talked about in the past of making an enhanced podcast in AAC format. We can put URLs in the podcast feed. We can put pictures in the podcast feed. We can put chapter markers on each call. That's a lot of work. And then AAC, you need Macro. Is there an AAC player for Linux?
I don't know.
Because it works in iTunes on Mac or Windows. I would guess there's an AAC.
Probably stand, Rhythmbox can do.
Because that's a standard enhanced audio codec.
It's Drakelian or Drakelian? All right. Drakelian?
Whatever.
Wait. I'll just say one and then you say yes or no. Drakelian.
As the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, it's a good. We're waiting for. I don't know that it matters. As I'm the only person who's ever said it out loud.
There's a 10-second delay.
Right, there's a 10-second delay. All right. I'll have forgotten which one I said by then. And the other question was, should the archives be under a CC license? Yes, they should. So it's Drakelian. I don't care. Anyway, here's the deal. They should be under a CC license, and I will see that happens. All right. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Oh, Mark?
Mark, are you there? I can't tell if it's me or somebody else. All right. Our next caller is Rick from Batavia, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I have an older version PowerBook G4. It is a 12-inch screen, and it unbeknownst to me, the USB on it is USB 1. I deal a lot with video files. I work with a children's program in our church. I bought an external 250 gig hard drive, USB 2, stuff up on the external hard drive. Took hours. I mean, I'm dealing with gigabytes of files, sometimes 15, 12, 5 gigs. You know, it would take all night to get them up onto the external hard drive. Now that I'm trying to bring them down and work with them, they will not come. The download dialog box goes up to like 14 megabytes and it freezes. I can bring small files down. Document files come back down off the external fine, but the big gigabyte files, the video files freeze.
Well, there's two things. First, do you have more than 14 gig free on your hard drive?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it freezes at 14 megabytes.
14 megabytes?
I mean, it barely starts without bringing it back through.
Right.
And then
what was your other thing?
No, the second one was Chris had a...
Well, the two issues that I was thinking of is that most external hard drives you buy are formatted FAT32 for Windows. You need to reformat them HFS for Mac. And secondly, USB, even USB 2 is god-awful slow for hard drives. You should have got a FireWire hard drive, which is significantly faster.
Or an Ethernet-connected hard drive
that would sit on the network, yeah. And it's unfortunate that USB 2 is cheaper, but FireWire is faster, so cheap is winning.
Right.
So a lot of drives will have both interfaces.
But it's unlikely you'll be able to get it down the way you want if you were to find a case to move that drive into that was either networkable by itself or FireWire, you would be able to do it. And buying a case would be a lot cheaper than buying a new drive.
Yeah. Check the formatting. You may have to reformat it for Mac to make it fully compatible.
All right. We're
going to
take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Let's see what we've got here that's interesting. Oh, Microsoft employee has posted details about planned changes to Microsoft's live search ahead of an event this coming week where the company was slated to unveil the changes to reporters. The changes to the search product, which were demonstrated at Microsoft's company-wide meeting earlier this month, include improvements in several specific types of search queries, notably in video search and in searches for products. In a blog posting on Thursday, Windows Live Program Manager Akram Hussein demonstrated how the revamped live search handles searches for digital cameras, showing not just product details, but also reviews. The new search scrapes details from other sites that have user reviews and other information and presents it within the search engine. Microsoft plans to brief reporters at a certification event next week at its Mountain View, California campus.
Certification?
Certification.
Okay, look that up in your Funk and Warner.
It is a word if it's understood.
I guess that's one way to put it. Hussein also showed a new celebrity search page demonstrating how a query of Brad Pitt included a ranking system of how popular he is at the moment, dubbed his celebrity X rank. And finally, Hussein outlined an improved video search that allows a motion preview of a video search result. The blog posting disappeared, but a million people had already seen it and talked about it and everything else, so... Yeah, folks, I'm sure this guy's had his wrist slapped if he's still there.
There was another problem with the live. Well, at Certification 2007 at Microsoft, they have a certification website.
Certification.
But there was another problem on Windows Live the other day that if you tried to log in with your .Mac email address, if your live ID was something at Mac.com, it said, no, you have to get a different address.
Really?
A couple of days later, they fixed that.
Oh, yeah, because it was an error.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if for my next career, I can get certification.
Yeah. I like it. Did you guys know the internet was down for in the middle of the week for a few hours?
Yeah, that was that old lady on the West Coast who took the icon from the internet on her desktop and dragged it to the trash.
Exactly.
I wish she would stop doing that.
We're not quite sure what happened, although there are a whole bunch of people who have different theories, but many of the core routers of the internet just disappeared. They just went off into la-la land for a while.
They called Al Gore?
Yeah, I think that was it. They called him, he fixed it again, and we're all good now.
Thank heaven.
But it was down for a couple hours. Okay, our next caller is Carol from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Carol. What's your question?
I have a 3-month-old Acer with Vista Home Premium, and I'm running ABG Plus, but whenever I turn on the computer, it says the firewall has been stopped. I go into my Windows firewall settings, and then it says, which I have turned off the Windows firewall, but then it's back on again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always coming back on again, even after I turn it off. And also, when I go in to see firewall statuses, it says that I have Norton firewall running, which I don't even have Norton on. I had removed it with the Norton removal tool.
Which apparently didn't work very well.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is common, yeah.
And I never did put Norton on because, the computer comes with it and says those,
Right.
And I never did anything with it. I just said, no, no, no.
Well, if the computer came with Norton pre-installed, then it's there and has since expired and isn't being updated, but it's still there trying to run.
Under the add remove programs, you removed it from there?
Yes, I had done that first.
All right, then.
Right, sometimes that doesn't work.
Right, and it might still have a hiccup in it. One thing you might want to try do is try downloading and trying a zone alarm.
Well, she has AVG plus firewall, so
right.
that's not it.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to find the link. We have a link on our website for manual remove of Norton products.
Right.
So some piece of Norton is still stuck in there and won't remove.
Right.
Yeah, and I've done a search everywhere.
Well, you're not going to be able to find it because it's in the registry.
Yeah, it's in the registry.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
And the other thing is that in terms of the firewall, turning it off is not enough.
Oh,
you have another button, and I'm afraid I'm not running Vista, so I don't have it in my
head
yet. But it actually says, I'll manage my own firewall, thank you. Stop paying attention to this.
And in the Soundbites link list back in July of 06, we have the Norton removal tools for all the Norton
products.
Rerun
that, yes.
Yeah, all right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 50 minutes after the hour, and it's Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. Let's go right to the phones. We don't have to tell people about iPod touchscreens being faulty, do we?
Yeah.
They theoretically haven't shipped yet. Apple keeps saying September 28th they're shipping. So it's really annoying that people have gotten them already.
Yeah, a small number of the screens on the new iPod Touch are having trouble displaying dark images.
Well, that's been a complaint from all the reviewers. The iPhone is much brighter than the Touch.
Yeah. But that's Apple hasn't said what they're going to do about that yet. And since you don't have a Touch, what do you care? We're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Deb from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Deb. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I installed a second hard drive in my desktop. It's recognized in Device Manager, but when I go to my computer, it only shows one. So is that just I have a master and slave?
After it's recognized, you would then have to format it in Disk Manager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you go into the control panel under Admin Tools, mm-hmm. you'll see the drive there listed under, like Steve said, and you can right-click on it and say Format.
Now, the first time you booted Windows, it should have said
control panel.
Unrecognized disk. Do you want to format it? And
not always.
Said yes.
I mean, if you go,
it didn't do that because that's what I was sort of expecting is that it would recognize it automatically. But it didn't.
Right. So. No, you got to go into the control panel under Admin Tools and Computer Management.
Uh-huh.
And under the Computer Management, you will see Disk Management.
Uh-huh.
There. Once you click on the Disk Management, there you will see the drives listed, and it'll tell the state of them. Now, that new one will probably say it's there, but no format. So you're right. You got to right click on it and then say format it.
Okay.
Then it'll show up.
Saves me cracking the case, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You win. You win, Deb. All right. Our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Okay. The question of the week for me is since I'm using Mozilla Firefox, I discovered they have these little useful things which I thought make me a little more safe, I hope. Ad blocker?
Yes.
I like it so far. I'm attempting to block links, frames, and pictures. Am I doing enough?
It's a start. You still need to be running an antivirus program continually run your anti-spyware stuff.
And a firewall.
But ad blocker is a product that will let you block most elements on your desktop, but certainly ads. Which means that you could block ads that are bad. And so that's a good thing to do.
Right, because I've got all the basics done. You know, the firewall, AVG, AdAware, SpyBot. I block pop-ups that I don't want. And there's some ads that would show up, I'm running quick filtering, so why do these show up? So now with the Ad Blocker Plus, I'm finding it very helpful. I just was wondering if this, you were talking about viruses, and ads, will this also be of any use to things like that?
Yeah, it will help. If you block the ad, it never actually gets to display on your system and therefore could not run. So, yes, that assists you. Marcy, you're wonderful. You're doing it all.
I'm attempting to.
I'm very impressed by you.
I keep a very clean system as much as possible.
Magnificent. Okay. All right. Thank you, Marcy.
Thanks.
Well, that's it. We are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those of you who did not call in. Let me particularly thank all the apologize to everybody to whom we did not get and yell at everybody who did not call in or something like, I don't care what I'm doing. I want to thank all the folks who are in the chat room answering questions and asking questions and all of that stuff. I especially want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the magnificent Chris Reich, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 58 minutes after the hour, and I want to thank you for making this yet another episode of the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites. We'll see you next week on 1180 WHAM.